How you doing this morning? Last Sunday of the new year. Are you glad or are you sad? Are you happy that you're looking at 2023 in the rearview mirror? Or do you wish you had some of those memories back? Well, let me tell you this. God is a God of the abundant life. Amen? That's what our church name is. That's God's promise. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Not God. So if there's any destruction that happened in your life last year, anything that just that as Pastor Sean was talking about, the condemnation thoughts, that's not of God. God is a God of the abundant life. That's what we're here to celebrate. Every single time we get together, when we rejoice, when we worship, when we meet in our small groups, when we go out to serve, it's about the abundant life. So I don't know what 2024 is going to hold. I have no idea. Last year, to be honest with you, was kind of a tough one for us. As a family, I had two surgeries. We had a new grandson that was born, but he was born 2 months premature, and our daughter-in-law really struggled through that pregnancy. Just a bunch of other stuff happened along the line or along the year with our kids and job things and just all kinds of stuff. I look back and I think 2023, that was a year maybe there are some things I'd rather forget. As a nation and even as a world, there are some things that maybe we'd like to forget. But God is still God. He's still a God of the abundant life. And that's the joy of being a Christian. What good is being a Christian if we ebb and flow with the times? The fact that we serve God and that we love Him and that we trust Him is that it doesn't matter what's happening on the outside. What matters is that we have a God of the abundant life on the inside and with us and through us and together. So no matter what happens, we can rejoice and we can have that peace in our life. And that's really what tells the world that Jesus is real. Because while they're freaking out, while they're going up and down with the times, with the economy, with the moral culture and all the stuff that's going on, the Christian remains solid. The Christian remains stable because we've got that rock inside. We've got that rootedness inside. Amen? That's who we are. That's who we are. Next Sunday, we start 2024. And the theme for 2024 is true identity, true community. In 2023, we went deeper. And we attempted at least, hope you at least grasp some of the ideas of who we are in Christ. What is our identity? And that's our first marker. We have four of them: identity, family, purpose, and sacrifice. Identity is number one. We got to know who we are in Christ. But when we start to understand who we are in Christ, we understand that we don't really know who we are totally until we're in the midst of the group, until we grasp the family. How do you know you're really patient unless you're with other people? How do you know you're really kind unless you're with other people? How do you know you really have the grace of God flowing through you unless there's someone in your life that's an extra grace required type person? You don't know. Our identity is molded and becomes revealed in the family. So we're going to spend time next year learning about what it means to be the community of faith. So I want you to stand up with me and read the scripture, and let's just stretch a little bit. Let's get the blood flowing. And the slide is on the screen. Read the scripture with me. We've been reading the scripture every Sunday in December. And we're going to finish it off today. Read it with me. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Come on, let me hear you. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on Him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." See that last line again. "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Say hello to two or three people around you before you sit down. Greet them. You're the family. Maybe introduce yourself and talk to somebody new, and then we're going to dive into the teaching this morning. This passage that we read is the reason why Jesus came. That's why we celebrated Christmas last Monday. He came to do the things that we just described, to preach good news to the poor, to set the oppressed free, to set the prisoner, the one that is exile, free, to proclaim recovery of sight to the blind. And this last statement, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Was last year a year of the Lord's favor for you? Maybe it was. Maybe you think of it that way. Maybe it was a difficult year. Will 2024 be the year of the Lord's favor to you? Could be. Let me just ask you this question. What was your best year? Now, for some of you, I mean, Sean used that three-letter word a minute ago, old. So for many of you, that it's harder for you to think about your best year because you've got like 80 of them. I've got quite a few too. Maybe you're younger and you have few to pick from. Can you think of a best year? Maybe this afternoon, if you're having lunch with folks or if you're spending time this evening, you can ask your group that question. What was your best year? When Jesus said he came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, he didn't really mean a 360-day or five-day period. That word means an era. An era. We're going to dive into that in a little bit. But maybe if you can't pinpoint a year, what was your best era? I started thinking about that a little bit in my own life. And I thought, well, let's take it by decade. I just kind of did that for myself. And so, you know, I've got quite a few decades under my belt. And I thought, well, first decade, age 1 through 10, childhood, you're just kind of, you know, you don't know much. You go where your parents tell you to go. You go to school. You try to be a good boy and avoid getting in trouble. And, you know, didn't have any idea, you know, about things around the world, you know, what cool was or anything like that. But as soon as you hit your teenage years, my teenage years, I started to figure out what cool was. And I wanted to be that. I think all teenagers do, but those were good years, and they were some hard years, filled with sports, finishing high school, finding out about girls, getting saved. I met Jesus in my teenage years, having friends, some of them I still have today. Then I hit my 20s. What an era. If I had to choose an era that was like the year of the Lord, the year of the Lord's favor, the era of the Lord's favor, it might be the 20s. But I got a few more to go, so maybe I'll change. But 20s. I married my bride in my 20s. Thank God she's still here. Went to college, went to Bible college, graduated from Bible college, got my calling into ministry in those years. Came to this church. In those years, I was only 24. Walked in those doors that you came through for the first time. Became a father for the first time in my 20s. My grandparents, three of them passed away in my 20s. But it was an era where we had the least money, the least security, the least, you know, really, the least maybe wisdom, the most mystery, but a whole lot of trust in God. And it was a good era. It was a good era. And I had really good hair and I was cool. 30s came. Two more kids. Became senior pastor here. Lots of growth. Lots of, you know, development and, you know, a lot of mistakes. Sandra purchased her business when we were in our 30s. Changed our life. Just learned how to follow God's voice. Began to develop a deep love for travel. In my 30s, I was still cool because I was a young senior pastor. Then the 40s. We bought and remodeled our first home. We remodeled this church. That was in my 40s. We learned lessons on giving as Sandra and I stretched ourselves and in our generosity. But I got glasses. In my 40s, my hair started to thin, but I tried to hide it by combing it different ways, and the young people in the church let me know, you're not cool anymore. Then the 50s, settling in and kind of getting used to this new transition from not cool or from cool to not cool. Kids graduated college. Kids got married in our 50s. First grandchild came in our 50s. Kind of the real last sports competitive era in my 50s. Had some surgeries, physical stuff. My father passed away. I went bald and I didn't like it. That was really not cool at all. But now the 60s era. My birthday, the date of my birth, I mean the day I was born, is closer to 1899 than it is to today. But I'm accepting aging. I'm accepting the gift of God. Pastor Sean said, you know, gray hair is a crown of life. What is baldness? Is that a crown of anything? But I'm still trying to convince Sandra that it's hot. And that's really easy. I like it. I can dive in a pool, jump out. And I look the same as when I went in. Get out of the shower. No change. Life is more balanced. It's not as hectic. It's slower. But I got more surgeries coming. And I got hearing aids now. The eras of life. The eras. You know, when Jesus said he came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, it wasn't about our decades. It was about his era. And it's been a long era. He said, today this is fulfilled in your hearing. That was 2,000 years ago. That today, the year of the Lord's favor, is still here. It wasn't a decade. It's been going on for 2,000 years now. It's a long run. I graduated high school in 1979. For those of you that are pop music fans, there's a great band called the Eagles. And they wrote a song that was put out in 1979. It was written by Don Henley called The Long Run. Maybe some of you remember that song. Some of the lyrics go like this. I used to hurry a lot. I used to worry a lot. I used to stay out till the break of day. Oh, that didn't get it. It was high time. I quit it. I just couldn't carry on that way. Oh, I did some damage. I know it's true. Didn't know I was lonely till I found you. Who can go the distance? We'll find out in the long run. And that was a song to a girl. Those words to me fit with my God. We hurry a lot. We worry a lot. In the process of hurrying and worrying a lot, we can do some damage. We have some regrets in life. But I didn't know what I was missing till I found you, Lord. Till I found you were the God. You are the God of the year of the Lord's favor. And I'll find out in the long run. How many know that the year of the Lord's favor in our lives is about the long run? It's not about the quick day. Days change. Jesus had good days. Jesus had bad days. Jesus had days that were nice and comfortable. He had days that people wanted to throw him off a cliff. And they wanted to throw him off a cliff after he said the things that I just read, that we read together. Eugene Peterson, the same guy who wrote, translated the Message version, he wrote another book called The Long Obedience in the Same Direction. It's a great book. It's a great title. This Christian life is about the long obedience in the same direction. It's about the long run. It's about living in the year of the Lord's favor. Like the Eagles wrote, I know I've made a lot of mistakes. I've made some decisions that has taken a long time to get over them and repair them. There's some regrets. I'm also proud of a lot of things. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of watching you grow and you develop. And I've come to the place at this age that I can't fret over the regrets. I can just choose today to get up from whatever knocked me down and keep going. Because this is the year of the Lord's favor. I'm living in it. I'm living in his design. I don't know how many memorial services I've done. A lot. A lot of them. Haven't counted, but dozens and dozens and dozens. I don't know if I've hit 100, but maybe. Here's what I know about memorial services, especially if the person is a bit older that's being memorialized. that we always have a time of sharing, and we ask people to stand up and share your memories about the person. And it blesses the family because they don't know things that maybe the deceased person's friends knew or coworkers knew. I find this is fascinating, that although they've lived a longer life, that those early years are not what people tend to talk a lot about. And it's not a what have you done for me lately thing, but people talk often about the years, 10, 15 years prior to the death. And that encourages me. I don't know how many years you have left. You might be younger. That doesn't mean you'll have more years left than I do. We don't know what the future holds. What I know is that I can start today and I can begin to live in the year of the Lord's favor now. I can choose to pivot now. If I've had regrets in the past, and those regrets might be regrets from last week, maybe things happened in your life days ago that you go, oh no, that one's going to follow me for a while. Thank God we can live in the year of the Lord's favor and today make a change. Today, make a decision. Today, change an attitude. Today, live thankfully and live with a perspective that is not drenched in the regret, but it's just buried in the year of the Lord's favor. Because that's where we are. When Jesus read that passage that we just read out of Luke chapter 4, that was quoted out of Isaiah chapter 61. And in that passage, we learn that Jesus was referring to something that the Jews knew a lot about. Some of you may know a lot about it. For some of you, it might be new to you. But it was called the year of Jubilee. The year of the Lord's favor is referring to the year of Jubilee. Now, if you're a Jewish person, that year of Jubilee means something different than it does to us because it's a foreign concept to us. Let me read to you what Leviticus 25, verse 8 to 12 says about this command of God. This is God's plan. He wrote it into the law like 4,000 years ago. Here's what it says in Leviticus 25. Count off 7 Sabbath years. 7 times 7 years. Do the math, 49 years. So that the 7 Sabbath years amount to a period of 49 years. Then have the trumpet sounded everywhere on the 10th day of the 7th month on the Day of Atonement. Sound the trumpet throughout the land and consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. Each of you is to return to your family property and to your own clan. The 50th year shall be a year of jubilee for you. Do not sow and do not reap what grows of itself or harvest the unintended vine or untended vines, for it is a jubilee and is to be holy for you. That's what Jesus was talking about, or at least a typology of what he was talking about. The year of jubilee. Get this now. Let me hope to unpack it for you a bit from what I just read. It was a Sabbath. Now, I just spent 3 months last fall in a sabbatical. Same root word. It wasn't one day. This is the Sabbath day. We come to worship on the Sabbath, a day of rest, a day of turning our attention toward the Lord fully, away from work, to God. And I got to spend a sabbatical, a Sabbath of a little bit longer duration. And here, he's talking about a Sabbath for everybody that lasts an entire year. And you got one every 50 years. Now, depending on when you were born, you could conceivably celebrate 3, maybe, jubilees. Maybe you're born just before, you know, the jubilee year. That would maybe make you 5 years old. And then you're 55. And if God blessed you, you could live to 100 and whatever. And you could conceivably enjoy 3 of them throughout your lifetime. But for the entire year, you got to have a Sabbath. And it said, proclaim liberty throughout the land. What did liberty mean? Well, no sowing and reaping, for one. Can you imagine all of us, not just us here, but all the community, we're not working for an entire year. That'd be kind of nice, wouldn't it? Now, how does that work? Well, they would store away the years prior so that they had enough to last them throughout that whole year. Oh, some of us would go nuts. We got to be busy. We got to be busy. We got to go. And God says, no, you don't got to go. Unwind. Take this year and unwind. Not only you unwind, but no sowing and reaping. Let the land unwind. I mean, remember, there wasn't technology and all the crazy stuff we do today. They would plant and then grow their food, and then they would live off the land. And that's the way life was. Then, something else is involved there in other passages. All the slaves were freed. They say, where'd slaves come from? Well, sometimes people had to sell themselves into indentured servitude. So maybe something was really going tough for you. Your land or your crop wasn't working out. And so in order to make ends meet, you'd have to go into debt. But you couldn't pay back your debt. And so if you didn't have money to pay back your debt, you would sell yourself into servitude to that person, work off your debt, and then you could be freed again. So slaves happened that way. Well, in the process, the person that you would sell yourself to, they would take over your land. Now remember, God had partitioned the land very clearly by tribes when they came into the land of Israel. And then the tribes, they would partition the land into the clans and the families and so forth. So there were original owners of the land. And if you had to sell yourself, somebody else would own the land. But on the year of Jubilee, all debts are wiped out. All debts are canceled. And you got to return to your own land. You got to take your land back again. Also, all debts forgiven. If you had any credit or a creditor, forgiven, wiped out, done. As I mentioned, people could return to their land. It was a year of rest and renewal. Imagine what that would look like today. Imagine your credit card bill in one day. Zero. Your mortgage. Zero. Done. Now, we don't have go back to your original home, but everybody could have their place restored to them. No more car payments. No more medical bills. Wiped clean. All erased. Everything was forgiven. Everything wiped away. Then imagine taking that year off. I would hope that we'd rejoice. I would hope that we'd make the best of that time and just be together and enjoy the food and enjoy the company and enjoy the rest and then be revived to go back and work again when the time came. But how strange if somebody chose not to celebrate it. Now, I don't know if there was that case. I don't think there was, because the law would come down on them. They were living under that law, and this is God's command. But how unnecessary and sad if people chose not to live according to the law of Jubilee. No, I want to stay a slave. What? No, I want to keep my debt. Why? No, I want to just keep working. Why would you want to do that when you can be free? Would we want to be free? Released? Have liberty proclaimed over us? When Jesus read these words from Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." That's Jubilee. "He has sent me to proclaim freedom, liberty for the exiles, the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free." That's Jubilee. "To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." To proclaim liberty, to announce. He wasn't giving this as a suggestion. He wasn't asking their opinion. He was saying, "I'm telling you all right now, Jubilee starts today." That's when it starts. I am proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. I have authority to do that because the Spirit of the Lord is on me. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me, and that's why I came. I came to proclaim this. This is now your Jubilee year. And I can imagine the Jews going, whoa. It is not the year of Jubilee. The calendar is not lining up. You're off somehow here. You go, no. This is a different Jubilee than you know. This is not a Jubilee where you just don't have to work for a year and the slaves get freed for a year. And most of them would, or not most, but some would go back into slavery because they still didn't manage things very well. And you still had to go back to work. And you still had to plow the ground. Jesus is saying, I'm talking about a whole different kind of Jubilee than that. I'm talking about a Jubilee of the Spirit, and it's forever. I'm setting you free from the inside. I'm setting you free from the bondage of monetary wealth, and I'm giving you wealth that money can't buy.
I'm setting you free from exile of another country and setting you free from the exile of your heart, the exile of sin. I'm setting you free from that sin's oppression. I'm opening the eyes of the blind, not those that were born blind, but those that were born spiritually blind. This is Jubilee. And I'm setting you free from that. I'm proclaiming it. And strangely, some said, I want that. And others went, nah. We'll stay where we are. How strange. How unnecessary. After Jesus read from this, he said, today, this is fulfilled in your hearing. From that day. Do we have any concept of this? Think about it just for a second. Really now, in your daily life, is there the concept that you are a spiritually, emotionally, mentally set free person? That's the abundant life. That's what Jesus said. I came to give life abundantly. I came to give you a year of Jubilee. That's not a year. It's an era. And it's not a decade. It's a forever thing. And yes, we know we still live underneath this atmosphere. But the kingdom of God is here. And the kingdom of God is sure. And the kingdom of God is eternal. And we can live in that spiritually now. And we will live in it physically someday. And it's our promise. Today, this is proclaimed in your favor or in your hearing. The gospel is good news for those who hurry a lot and worry a lot. But he set us up to go the distance. And we're going to find out in the long run when we see him face to face. He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You understood the year of Jubilee. You understood the year of the Lord's favor. The poor in spirit. You can live like you're rich in spirit, whether you got money or not. We're all exiles, all of us, because we're born into sin. Born into slavery to sin. And we can live like we're not exiles anymore. Do you realize sin has no more grip on you? You don't have to obey it. It's no longer your master. You can say no. You oppressed. We live in that oppression. And I feel it. I feel it when I watch the news. I feel it when I'm in the midst of, you know, just the angst of people. And there's war. And there's violence. And there's crime. And there's just fighting. And there's people against each other. But we don't have to be enslaved by that. This is the year of the Lord's favor. You don't have to be enslaved by that. You can love people that even hate you. And that's less about them and more about you. Your heart can be set free so that no matter how ugly people can get, you still have that love of God. Is that a process? Of course. But that's the year of the Lord's favor. You blind, you can live like you see clearly. You don't see the world like everybody else sees it. You don't hear all of the stuff that happens. And let it drive you nuts because you see different now. You see through the eyes of the Spirit because you're living in the year of the Lord's favor. You know, when I see like that, I think of this last year. And it has been the year of the Lord's favor. It has been. I don't know how many, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars that we've sent around the world to make sure that the gospel is preached. But if you're new with us today, missions is a big deal for us. And every year is a year of the Lord's favor as we write our monthly pledges and we send it out. And some of you know, some of you don't know that I've been blessed to be assigned in 2023 to our Assembly of God World Missions Board. What that means is that I get to represent the Western states in our headquarters in Springfield. And we meet twice a year and I get to sit and interview and give approval to our missionaries around the world. I went to that meeting in October, and I think there were 59 missionaries. It was awesome to sit with these, many of them younger people, some in their 20s, some in their 30s, some in their early 40s, and then look at me across the table and our committee across the table and telling us, I'm ready to give my life for Jesus. I'm ready to give my life for the people in Hungary, for the people in Asia, for the people in Europe, for the people in West Africa. I'm ready to give my life, to lay hands on them and pray over them. And all they wanted to do was go. They didn't want to stay here. This was just like, I got to get out of the States. I need to go because that's where the need is. Oh man, what a year of the Lord's favor to be able to represent you and to have the joy of even sitting across the table from some of the missionaries we already support and to hug them and say, oh, it's such a blessing. I'm hugging you in the name of the Abundant Life people that give their support to you every month. You're our representative. You're our hand extended. It's the year of the Lord's favor. The Global University, some of you know, some of you don't know. All you see is the little names on the missions pledges. But Global University is one of our great ones that we've supported by I think, $40,000 this year. And what Global University does is it sets up online and in some cases in-person pastoral training centers in areas that are very, very opposed to the gospel. You may not realize, but right now, your giving is training pastors that serve in underground house churches all over the Middle East. See, is the church thriving in the Middle East right now? Yes, it is, because there are over 10,000 what they call upper rooms. Some of those upper rooms are 5 or 6 people. Some of them are 10 to 20. But all over the Middle East, where you look over that area on the map or you hear about it in the news, and all you can think about is how closed they are to the gospel. Not true, because it's the year of the Lord's favor. And through your giving, through your sacrifices, through your generosity, pastors are being trained, and those pastors are teaching people, and they're sharing the gospel. And we have a hand in that. It's the year of the Lord's favor. It was awesome to go to Costa Rica this year in July, and to work with the children. I'm hearing reports back of some of those young people, children and high schoolers, are making further commitments to serve God. And I heard the call of God for the first time in their life when your team was there. Some of our team members may not know that the Bible college that we have supported last year, they are going to put it on the campground after all. So the campground that we worked on and beautified and served at, that's the home of the new Costa Rican Bible College that's going to be serving and training pastors. And you have a hand in that because it's the year of the Lord's favor. We helped plant churches last year. iHeart LA is the name of a church in Los Angeles. There, 59 people gave their hearts to Jesus. And your missions dollars opened that church. Up in Humboldt County, a church called Branches. Some of you know Justin and Heidi Fox. Your dollars helped them open that church. Now they're running over 100 people in 1 year. There's a church in Winters. Didn't have enough money for a pastor. Your tithe fund dollars helped put that pastor in the pulpit. Church, you matter. We have partners all over the world and all over the bay and all over the nation because of your generosity. Because this is the year of the Lord's favor. It's awesome and it's beautiful. Across the seas, we support Chara. You see that name in your missions brochure. They have a couple of pictures of the Birth Hope Center in Tanzania. What is the Birth Hope Center? It's a place where women, many of them teenage girls, and we can put the slide up there. There's one of the mamas right there. This home is for these girls that if you're in that culture and if you have a baby out of wedlock or in many cases because of rape or incest, these women get pregnant and the men aren't usually cast out. It's the women that are cast out. They're considered the problem. And so we've built in its entirety, it was all Abundant Life money that was sent there to build this Birth Hope Center so women can go there, they can have their babies in a peaceful, loving environment. And they can see these children grow into the tutelage of the gospel. And they're taught vocations. And they can go back into the workforce. And they can be proud of who they are. And they can be proud of their children because they had a place like this. And that's where your dollars have gone. There's a couple more slides to show. These are some of the ladies that serve there, some of the staff. I believe right now there are 16 women, and I think there are 14 babies currently. But many have gone before, and there are many trying to get in. And we're developing a school there as well. Say, Pastor, we never heard about this stuff before. I know. There's so much to tell you every Sunday when these things happen. But this is what you are doing throughout the world because of your giving, because of your generosity. And this isn't a message about giving today. I'm not asking you to give anymore. I'm just telling you, this is what you've already done because it's the year of the Lord's favor. This is the school that's being, the nursery school that's being completed right now. Praise God. Last year might have been crazy, but God didn't see it that way. He sees a lot of this, a lot that's happening. Just last week, or just before Christmas, one of our own, Sela Mercado, she's usually here with her family. She sits right over there with her loved ones. But she had to work today. She serves and works at the Pediatric Subacute Center in Saratoga. And through our partnership with Convoy of Hope, and you can change the slide. Through our partnership with Convoy of Hope, they gave a donation of brand new toys. So Pastor Angela went and got a whole stockpile of these brand new toys from Convoy of Hope and found out that Sela and these children that live, they basically live in this pediatric center because they're so sick. They've got such, you know, just health problems that they basically live here long term. So they don't get to go home for Christmas. They don't get to go home and celebrate like you and I do. So we brought Christmas to them. And this is just Pastor Angela and Sela there in the smock and Elisa and some of the other staff. And we didn't want to infringe on the children and take lots of pictures inside. But our kids wrote special notes to all the kids and they gift wrapped the packages and they made them all nice and sent cards. And then they brought these gifts and Sela guided them through. And she tells me of just the joy that was in that place because of the ministry of your children. Your kids are learning what it means that this is the year of the Lord's favor. It's powerful. And I want to have Lai Hoi come up because there's even more to tell you as she's our outreach director. But the year of the Lord's favor has been busy through the ministry of our outreach team. And Lai Hoi, come on up. And she's going to share some great stuff about what's going on through her ministry with outreach. Lai Hoi.
Thank you, Pastor Greg. Good morning, church. So as Pastor Greg said, my name is Lai Hoi. I'm the local outreach director. On December 14th, only a few weeks ago, Steve Cox, one of our church elders, and I had the privilege to attend a apartment dedication of Grace Village. This was apartment unit 23. And before I share more about the work that was done on this apartment unit, I wanted to give you some more information about the Grace Village. So Grace Village is a 50-unit apartment complex purchased by City Team in 2021. So this church, you all, gave $175,000 to donate and made it possible to actually purchase that unit. So since then, in 2022, we actually fully adopted one of those units. We gave $30,000, but unfortunately, we did not have the bandwidth or manpower to go and renovate this unit, and it definitely needed some renovation. So we were very blessed that Tocoa Church, led by Pastor Austin, was actually able to oversee the demolition and restoration of that apartment. So I put together a short video of about a minute to show you the before and after, and we can play that right now for you. Thank you. And so the plaque that you just saw in the last screen, that basically allows the tenants who will get to live there know who actually sponsored and worked on the unit. So they'll know that it was us that were able to bless them. And as you could see, the apartment was in a very, very poor state. But with diligence and persistence, the unit turned out beautiful and has been made ready to move in. So a mom with her children has been able to be taken off the streets and was able to move in before Christmas. And we're just very honored and extremely thankful for your giving and your obedience. Through Grace Village, about 22 women were able to go through this program, were able to be given a home, taken out of the streets, and didn't have to live in their cars anymore. And so these women, with all their children, were able to move into permanent housing. And with the case management that City Team offers, they were able to get back into society and afford their own homes. So, thank you for your faithful giving, and thank you for praying. I know it was very heartbreaking for me to hear how many families are living on the streets. But we are now able to continue this giving through City Team, and hopefully we can also participate in another unit renovation. And thank you so much.
Thanks, by the way. Isn't that great? Oh, giving life, giving jubilee to somebody else. And some of you might be getting enthused and saying, well, I want to do that. I want to be a part of that. Well, La Jolla's around. You can go on the website and check the different outreach opportunities, the different service opportunities. Why not make 2024 a totally different year for you? To actually live in the year of Jubilee. To give life to somebody else. Because when Jesus said, I have come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the question follows, well, how is that going to happen? When Jesus proclaimed it, he then designed that it will be done through his church. He said, I will build my church, and my church is going to be the one that will bring the year of the Lord's favor. Now, we can't bring salvation. Jesus did that on the cross, and it's his job alone. But he did fill us with his Spirit, that then we can go and be his hands extended. Why not? Why not us? Why not in 2024? Why not you? When Jesus proclaimed that, it was on the Day of Atonement that the year would be proclaimed in the days of the Old Testament. Jesus went to the cross, and it was the day of Passover, but on that day, our sins were atoned for. And I wonder this morning if there's anyone that is hearing about this jubilee, this freedom, this favor with God, but yet maybe strangely you're thinking, nah, why would I want to do that? Like someone who would be in Israel and say, why would I want to be free? Why would I want my debts canceled? Why would I want to live unburdened? Why would I want to take a year off? All these, like, what? That doesn't make sense. Well, guys, Jesus is saying the same thing, but he's saying it about your spirit. Why would you want to continue to be bound up with the anger, the regret, the sadness, the fear, the stress, the pain, the shame, the regrets? Why not start your long run today? Why worry a lot and hurry a lot when today can be the start of your new long run, can be the start of your day of jubilee? And those that have maybe already started their journey, but you found yourself kind of stuck. That happens to all of us. You go strong, and then you kind of run out of gas, and things aren't as, you kind of fall back a little bit. Well, the day of Jubilee happened every 50 years. For Jesus, it happens every second. Because every moment you can turn to him and say, God, I confess, and I want you. I want to change. Now that takes your decision. God doesn't force us to any decision. He will never force us to change. But right now, why not say yes to him and say, I want to live in 2024 in your year of Jubilee, in the year of the Lord's favor. And I want to do it every moment, every moment, every moment. Today, this proclamation has been made in your hearing. Why not respond to that right now? Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you, Jesus, for coming. And thank you for proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. We've seen a lot of your favor this year, and we didn't even scratch the surface with the work you've done through us and in us. I'm sure dozens could come to this platform and testify to how you changed their life this year. And we are so grateful and so thankful for your Holy Spirit's work. But Lord, I know that we have an opportunity today to say, I want that. I want to be in the year of the Lord's favor. I want to live that free life. Because I know, Jesus, that's why you came. Whether it's a new decision or whether it's a renewed decision, today is a new start. That this truly could be our best year. Not because everything would go so smoothly or we'd be absent pain or absent difficulty, but because inside of us we live in the Lord's favor. And that overcomes everything. So as your head's bowed and your eyes are closed and you're praying to the Lord yourself, I just want to end this year with an opportunity to say, would you make that decision? Would you make it? Why not? Why not say, today I want to live in the Lord's favor? It's as easy as saying, Lord Jesus, I confess whatever it is you need to confess. And you're honest before him and say, Lord, I want you and I want to live in your abundant life. I want to live in your favor. And just like that, like faster than the speed of light, because it's the speed of the Spirit, God is there. He's ready to renew you. And the body of Christ is given to you as a gift that together we support each other, build each other up in love, and teach and help and encourage, to lift up when you're down, to build up when you're confused, to walk with when you're lonely. It's the beauty of the family. So if that's you this morning, you say, that's what I want to do. I want to live in the year of the Lord's favor. Maybe just put up your hand and put it back down. Yeah, I see you. Thank you. Yeah, you can put it down. Others, yeah, thank you. Even if you're at home watching online, you know, I can't see you, but God sees you. You can put up your hand right where you are, watching on your television. Any others want to join these? So I want to live in the year of the Lord's favor. So good, so good, so good. Let's all stand together. So many hands. Let's all just stand and rejoice together. Praise you, Jesus. Pastor Sean, the refrain of, so I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, that's spinning in my mind right now. Maybe we could sing that as we kind of pray this in. I'd like Pastor Sean just to play that song with us, and let's sing along with it. And if you raise your hand today, raise them again, and the rest of us will raise ours with you, and we'll just say, God, we just have a hallelujah, which means praise the Lord. And you can praise the Lord because when you raise your hand, the Spirit of God says, you're in the year of the Lord's favor. Now let's live it. Let's live it. Tomorrow starts a new year. Let's start fresh. We'll raise our hands together and praise him again and again. And enjoy that. Would you do that? Let's sing it. And Pastor Sean, you can close us up. Praise his name.
So I'll throw up my hands and praise you again and again.
Thank you, Lord.
Because all that I have is a hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, there's nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Your name. Father, we love you and we are so thankful that we can end our year like this, making a new decision, not a resolution, but it's an opening of our heart, saying, God, I know you are resolved to transform me. If each day I will simply come before you and be honest, say, Lord, today I need you. Today I choose to follow you. Today, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to know? Today. Lord, let that be each of our prayers. And we know there'll be temptations. We know there'll be opposition. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And we do resolve today to follow you. To not look back to the left or to the right. To not let our regrets bog us down, but to live in the year of the Lord's favor. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you and glorify you. In the name of the strong Son of God, the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
If you just have the elders both left and right. If you want to just pray through maybe what God's speaking to you, I just want to invite you to come up here and we'll make sure we get somebody to pray with you.